Blog Talk Radio.
Today, great British painter Sir Joshua Reynolds. Beautiful colors he used, and a lot of the figures he used in his paintings, quite remarkable. If you're a Christian Scientist, one of the most famous was Senator Charles Percy, who founded Bell and Howell in Chicago. He was a student of then Professor Paul Douglas, who was a guy who joined the United States Marines when he was nearly 50, during World War II. He's quite successful. He's professor of economics at the University of Chicago. He said about Charles Percy that he was the most successful business student he ever had. Percy was a Christian Scientist. There's several others, and of course Mary Baker Eddy. Supposedly has a telephone in her tomb, like Lenin, and I guess the joke is that she's going to call all her followers when she decides to resurrect. Percy is a Christian Scientist, was quite remarkable. He ran against Paul Douglas in 1965. I remember we were coming back from California visiting my relatives, and we were in South Dakota when over the radio came the news that one of Charles Percy's daughters, they were the twins, one is living, and is married to Jay Rockefeller, who's also a former president of PBS, was brutally murdered in their suburban Chicago home. That murder has never been solved. It's quite interesting. Douglas stopped campaigning out of deference to the death of Chuck Percy's daughter. A couple of Scandinavians born on this day. Raoul Amundsen, who tried to beat Robert Scott to the South Pole, as many, I think, high schools named one in Chicago. Quite interesting, where the only known survivor of the attempt by John Gacy to lure this kid into his car, and all those kids who were lured were brutally sexually assaulted and then murdered. This kid survived, and we have the interview. I got it quite by accident. Trygve Lie, Norwegian, was the first Secretary General of the United Nations, and the United Nations was started here in San Francisco. A couple of female movie stars, Barbara Stanwyck, I think she came out of Pennsylvania, Ginger Rogers from Missouri, and of course she was the famous dancer with Fred Astaire, or Freddie Austerlitz. And all that fancy footwork really took a toll on her feet. Another public personality, Bess Meyerson, was the first Jewish ethnic to become Miss America. Richard Thornburg was Attorney General, and he was involved in the Watergate and the Nixon administration. Excuse me. Corin Redgrave is the lesser-known child of Sir Michael Redgrave, and his big sister is Vanessa Redgrave. And then, of course, there's Georgie Girl, who went to school with one of my ex-girlfriends. Among the events today, in 1918, Nicholas II was executed, or deaths, I should say. And in 1991, Frank Rizzo, who was a police chief of Philadelphia, he was criticized for, I think there were some black protesters, militants, young men. He had them stripped in the street. Also, he had a radio program, and he remarked on his radio program that only his family didn't talk back to him. Nobody did, but he had a bird that did. The former head of the Drug Enforcement Administration out here on the West Coast, Dan Addario, apprenticed on a Philadelphia police beat with Rizzo, and tried to get Addario needed a Christmas tree for his family, and he went to this lot. And Rizzo said, "I'll take care of it." And he goes up to the owner of the lot and says, "How much is that $2 tree?" Dario later went to New York and then joined the federal government as the Drug Enforcement Administrator. And then he came to San Francisco, was in the media briefly, and then has left San Francisco. I don't know where he's at right now. He also asked me to do a list of Dirty Dozen, the worst public corruptors in this part of California, and I said there are too many candidates. I don't know where to start or to end. Among the events today, this is important for Spain. In 1212, after 300 years, the Muslims were finally defeated, and their influence in Spain, the military influence and political influence, was finished. But you can see their architecture of the Alhambra and many places around Spain today. And, of course, all those dark-skinned Spaniards apparently had some North African Muslim blood way, way back then. Again, talking about Spain again, 1548, La Paz, Bolivia was founded. And, of course, a lot of people don't know, but there's a type of cocaine called blue cocaine that comes from Bolivia. And one of the notorious connections in San Francisco to the Bolivian cocaine connection was this woman, Rosario Aramburu Anaya. And there was a lawsuit in Alameda County, which we discovered, where she hired a Bolivian cocaine dealer as a phony contractor. He set her house on fire. She never lived in San Francisco, but she was running successfully for San Francisco office on the San Francisco School Board, a form of voter fraud, to say the least, among other things, and HUD fraud, and connection to Juan Pifre, another cocaine freak. Anyway, he fled back to Bolivia, this drug dealer, and he came back to Mexico and was busted, and Anaya had filed a lawsuit against him in Alameda County and asked the Mexican government to release him so he could come up here to face civil court, but they told her where to go. I think he got 16 years. That was the proposed sentence for this drug dealer. In 1769, more Spanish news, Father Serra, controversial, founded the first mission in California, was Mission San Diego. And the plan was each mission that he founded all the way up the coast of California was to be a day's journey. Most famous mission besides San Diego is Mission Dolores here in San Francisco, and we'll get into that another day. On 1790, the District of Columbia was founded, and District of Columbia people didn't have the right to vote. A lot of people don't know that. An immigrant who was born in the Canadian Islands was the first U.S. Navy officer promoted to Rear Admiral, David Farragut. He immigrated legally to the United States, unlike this guy, Jose Vargas, who is also a gay political activist who has been in the news because he was arrested at the border down at McAllen, Texas. He entered the country illegally as a child. That wasn't his fault. However, he's been running his mouth, and had he done this in his native country, the Philippines, he's not a U.S. citizen, he would have been deported. No, none of this media you know, fuss about this guy. And he's very arrogant. He claims he has a right to be here. So, you know, I don't know why. He's not the only one, by the way. In 1912, the U.S. Navy developed the first torpedo that was launched from a plane, and I think the Japanese were watching because, and the British, because the British did the first successful torpedo attack on a fleet at the Battle of Taranto in the Mediterranean. The Japanese were watching that and applied some of those tactics to their attack on Pearl Harbor several months later. In 1920, the first U.S. Army general to become chief of chemical warfare was a guy named Amos Freeze, and not much known about him. In 1935, and of all places, Oklahoma City, the first parking meters were installed. They were not first installed in New York, Chicago, or San Francisco. In 1945, the first atomic bomb was detonated at Alamogordo. And we have a rare interview of a veterinarian, and we discussed at when I was out in Australia, discussed the effect of atomic bomb testing in the Pacific and the dropping of that bomb on Hiroshima and Nagasaki. What happened to the animals? Very interesting. In 1946, in San Francisco, Roger Lampen was the first mayor of San Francisco there was a recall attempt, and the recall was because of two things: fighting Harry Bridges, the Australian communist who was the head of the corrupt Longshoremen's Union, although their rights were violated at that time, and there's a famous Ninth Circuit court case about named Mooney. We'll get into that another day. Anyway, Lappin tried to increase the streetcar fares, and he was opposed on that. And also, he tried to abolish the cable car system. He was unsuccessful. He is the father of the, I think, the publisher and editor of the Atlantic magazine. He said he was going to be a one-term mayor, and he was. You don't hear this quite often. That's why we need term limits. In 1951, J.D. Salinger published Catcher in the Rye, and he recently died. And he supposedly wrote another novel. And in 1973, we had Alexander Butterfield, who was a Nixon staffer in the White House. He disclosed that there were tapes that covered things at happenings in the White House. And, of course, those of you who may have seen like TWA news story on CNN last night, I don't know if they'll replay it, or read Jack Caschell's book, on flight TWA 800, there was the discussion. One of the his daughter was one of those who was on that plane, and he learned that there were, you know, the black box, the tapes. He learned that there was a gap missing of about a minute or so, and he no longer trusts the United States government, according to him. In my background, in 1964-65, at Wright College, I debated Congressman Roman Puchinsky, who was the first U.S. Army Air Force pilot in a B-29, the first B-29 attack on Tokyo. And we were debating the United States' involvement in the Vietnam War, and of course I was an opponent, and he supported it. And I asked the question, what are they doing to try to rescue the pilots that have been shot down? Puchinsky said that he had asked Lyndon Johnson to order the installations of tape recorders in the cockpit of all aircraft here in the United States. That is, according to him, the origin of the black box. And I understand they're still looking for that black box on that Malaysia plane that went down, we believe, in the Indian Ocean. Quite a bit of history here. And, of course, Puchinsky should get that credit. I'm pretty sure he did that because he was quite a pilot. And he was known as Pucci affectionately. And he had to have, and anybody that debates, you ought to be aware of this tactic. Puchinsky had bad breath. I didn't know it at first. And whenever I tried to make a point or to rebut him, he would turn and breathe in my direction. And first two times I didn't catch on, and then I got a whiff, and I moved away when I was making my rebuttal. Now, among the things that are important, especially this Vargas guy, Also in this date in 1980, Ronald Reagan, at the Republican convention in Detroit, Ronald Reagan was nominated for the president, and he was successful for two terms. Now, there's a Vargas scandal. Now, Vargas came here, Jose Vargas came here as a 12 or 14-year-old boy. Wasn't his fault. We understand that. However, when he discovered that he was here illegally, he made no attempt to get his status legalized. Also, I believe when you're also you're a male in the United States, whether you're a citizen or not, you have to register for Selective Service. I don't think he did. So he's been here a while. Now he's going around running his mouth about he has a right to be here, he's paid his dues and all that, and he's pushing the gay political sexual preference agenda. So I don't know if that gives him the right to be here. And there are other people. We had a famous case here in Northern California where a whole family was deported back to the Philippines. They had been here a long time, bought a house, were working, they were contributing to the economy, and either one of their members or a couple of them were here illegally or came here illegally, and immigration deported the whole damn family. So, you know, this makes no sense with this guy who has made no contribution and is running his mouth and is arrogant and has not made an attempt to legalize his status. He gets to stay here because he's gay, and this whole family had to sell their house, sell their furniture, sell all the belongings they couldn't transport, ship back to the Philippines, and they get deported. Something's wrong here. And if now the Philippines, they have immigration law. Their law evolved from the American occupation. There's a little Spanish mixed in, but it's basically American law or Anglo-Saxon English law of civil law. And their immigration law, if Vargas had come here, say, from illegally from Spain or from Puerto Rico or China, and there's a lot of this, or Malaysia, that they're illegally, and they can, these illegals who come to the Philippines are deported. They don't fool around. And also, there's a question. It's an interesting contradiction because there's so much pedophilia and prostitution in the Philippines, a Catholic country, by the way, that there's a morality clause in their immigration laws. So it's quite interesting. If he were an illegal to the Philippines, he might come under that clause and that section of Philippine immigration law. So, you know, we need to look at this, and we are being disenfranchised in our country, and we need to start saying, hey, you know, you come here, you follow our laws. You don't come here and dictate what the law should be. And if you don't like it, go back to where you came from and stay there. Don't ever come back. Now, among the other controversies, Bo Bergdahl, I understand he hasn't talked to his parents, and one of the questions has come up. Given the sexual predator characteristic of the Taliban, the British newspaper and several others exposed the Taliban being a bunch of pedophiles and liking young males, and considering the history of Islam and when they captured Christian soldiers, if they weren't circumcised, they would do a partial circumcision, and that is the origin of the phrase Christian dog. And also, the young males would be raped, and this has happened repeatedly. There would be horrible tortures in some cases, especially when the Muslims in North Africa would capture the French. And, of course, with the British, who are everywhere, the sun never set on the British army, they raped soldiers and did all kinds of horrible things to young military personnel in captivity. Now, the question is, in this 5 years of captivity of Bo Bergdahl, good-looking young man, what did something else happen? That question, given the sexual practices, was this soldier abused? Now, that question needs to be addressed. Also, there's a question that did he desert? If he deserted, does he come under the same category as Private Eddie Slovak, who shouldn't have been in the Army to begin with in World War II, and during the Battle of the Bulge, he either deserted or did something, and he was court-martialed, and, of course, the court-martial goes up for final approval to the commanding general. in that case was Dwight Eisenhower, and Eisenhower said, young men are dying. He approved the sentence of execution, and it was carried out. Eddie Slovac was executed by firing squad. This hasn't happened to Bird Bergdahl. There may be more to this. Those of you who are interested in following the CNN TWA Flight 800, I suggest you get Jack Cashel's, one of his many books, on TWA Flight 800. Now, we had a 10 years ago, we had a citizens group called American Issues Forums, and it was designed, and it did bring together liberals and conservatives to discuss issues of which there was common ground. One of the issues that came up was the TWA Flight 800, and we had an ex-retired Black Ops Special Forces explosives expert in our group, and he brought pictures and everything, and he said that that plane had been hit by a missile. So he was the expert. I'm not an expert. It also raises the question of another incident about that time at Oklahoma City, talking about parking meters. This is something else. At the federal building there, supposedly the truck that was parked outside of the Murrah building blew up and took that building down. So the explosion went from the parked truck to the building. So there is a path. I mean, this is common sense. Anybody that's seen explosives, you know, there's a path from ignition to explosion, and it follows to a certain distance. Now, so many people saw something streak up from the sky that night. Now, these people couldn't all be on drugs, and these are people in a well-off area, intelligent people in that area of New York. And I think it was about 200 people who saw something go up from either a rooftop or from the ocean. Now, there's another mystery to this whole thing. The TWA flight was switched. There was the plane that was supposed to take off in front of TWA 800 was an LL, an Israeli jet, a passenger jet, and the departure setup was switched. So instead of the TWA 800 flight departing in front of the LL jet, the LL jet was switched, and that jet took off first, and then, of course, TWA Flight 800, and according to the story last night, that there was apparently somebody had boarded that plane in St. Louis and had explosive chemical in his luggage, and it leaked into the air-conditioned section of that TWA jet, and something ignited. Now, and also they kept saying the 100-degree heat. Well, planes, the TWA planes, and not only TWA planes, but jets are flying out of the hottest areas in the world, the Middle East, Africa. We never heard of this happening. This is very bizarre, and it's something doesn't add up. And, of course, if there's a possibility that there was an accident, and this happened where a U.S. Navy ship accidentally shot down an Iranian jet, and the Iranians got even with us, or blamed us. It was an accident. Could it have been that the U.S. Navy ship had fired a missile by mistake or something went off and hit that plane? If that happened, there was a huge liability. So we hope that's not the case, but we don't know. And it's just too many questions. And, of course, the Clinton administration is notorious for a cover-up. Clinton cover-up is a nickname that one politician who was a student of the presidency remarked about all the things that the Clintonistas, as he called them, used to do when they were in the White House. So we will end with our usual. We are going to I think Jack Cashel did another part of the interview that I did, and it's just being edited down. So we'll play that. We're going to try to schedule that for this Friday. Also, go out and get his book, So What's the Matter with California, Popes and Bankers, which is among my favorites. If I Had a Son, which is about, you don't hear about this because of the scandal of cover it up of Trayvon Martin, St. Trayvon, and a couple other scandals. Anyway, we'll end with our usual politics and poker, and go to our Amicus Veritas YouTube site. We'll be putting some more stuff up. So here's our ending for the day, and stay safe. Here we go. We'll have more on MS-13. This is a group of South American gangsters. They tattoo their faces and everything there, and they may be involved with these children coming across the border. Also, nobody understands why our people, our special ops, haven't gone after these mules. You know, they went after Osama bin Laden and his crowd. Why haven't they gone after these mules and taken these people? They're abusing everybody, these charging these poor families in South America $5,000, and then they rip the people off, and these kids end up getting dying in the desert. It's not only them, mothers, fathers, brothers, you know, children. You know, they're worse than the old Arabs in the slave trade during the 16th, 17th century, when the Arabs would go into Africa and shake down these tribes and enslave these young boys and girls and sell them to the slave traders, the Portuguese, the Spanish, the English, the Dutch, the Americans. So, you know, there's a serious question that's unanswered here. Why haven't they gone after the mules and these people who are part of this problem of illegal migration? And also, the media should get these people who keep saying these are undocumented immigrants. How do we know they're immigrants? How do we know they're coming here to become U.S. citizens? A lot of them that we know of are coming here because they need the money, and the older people do, and they're working, some of them illegally. Others are coming here to get away from the violence in South America. So we need to strictly define our terms, and these media people should watch their language. So we'll end with our usual politics and poker.
You say, Ben? Want a hand?
No, you guys go ahead. I got too much on my mind to play poker.
King bets.
Cost you five. Tony, up to you.
Okay, Tony, what are you
going to
do?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
K2. Gentlemen, here we are, and one thing is clear. We gotta pick a candidate for Congress this year.
Big ace.
Ace bets.
You'll pay through the nose.
Okay, where's your card?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Here goes.
Possible straight, possible flush. Nothing.
Gentlemen, how about some names we can use? Some qualified Republican who's willing to lose.
How's it about we should make Jack Riley the guy?
Which Riley are you thinking of, Jack B or Jack Y?
I say neither one. I never even met him.
I say when you got a pair of Jack, bat out.
Politics and poker, shuffle up some cards and find the joker. Need the games for children, need the game is rough. Decisions like
who to pick,
how to play, what to bet,
where's the call of duck?
All right now, fellas, politics or poker, which is more important?
Paratrades.
Bet 'em.
Little trade, good as gold.
I'll say.
Raise your five.
I'll call.
I'll hold.
I'll raise your back.
I think you're bluffing.
Put your money where your mouth is.
Okay, I'm in.
Gentlemen, knock it off and let's get this done.
Try Michael Fanyashinkovich. I'm certain he'd run.
Mike is out. I'm afraid he just wouldn't sell. Nobody likes a candidate whose name they can't spell.
How about Dave Zimmerman?
Dave, he's too bright.
What about Walt Gustafson?
Walt died last night.
How about Frank Monahan?
What about George Gale?
Frank ain't a citizen and George is in jail.
We could run out Wallenstein.
He's only 23.
What about Ed Peterson?
You idiot!